Preliminary findings from Ethiopia point to a Boeing systems failure. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Ethiopia's Minister of Transport has delivered the first official report on the air crash that killed 157 people in March. She said pilots followed all the procedures provided by the manufacturer but could not control the aircraft. She said the plane repeatedly tried to dive, and the findings recommend that its flight control system should be reviewed before it's allowed to return to service. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
That reinforces suspicions that this accident was caused by a malfunctioning of a flight control system, which had already been implicated in a previous accident involving the 737 MAX 8 off Indonesia last year. Because one thing Boeing has been saying consistently was that if there was a problem with this system and the pilots carried out a set procedure, which they should have memorized, then they would be able to regain control. If they tried those procedures and they were unable to regain control, that's a big problem for Boeing.
What kind of a problem? Is there also some responsibility here on Boeing?
Well, potentially they could be accused of allowing a dangerous aircraft to continue flying, not doing enough to ensure the safety of the aircraft after the first accident, and that ultimately led to the second catastrophe. That's the real issue here.
Now, Theo, we haven't heard from Boeing. What does all this mean?
There will be deep concern within Boeing. I have no doubt about that. You know, this is a manufacturer that does not set out to create dangerous aircraft. So the first step for Boeing will be trying to address the issues with the aircraft and get it flying again. Meanwhile, the Federal Aviation Administration is carrying out a root and branch review of the safety certification of the aircraft to make sure that once it's back flying, it is a safe aircraft and is seen to be a safe aircraft. And then, of course, after that, we can start talking about all the legal repercussions from this, because there will be legal repercussions.
Theo Leggett. Let's do the numbers. As global shares fall, stocks in Germany are lower after orders for industrial goods dropped 4.2% in February. That's the fastest rate in more than 2 years. Analysts had expected a slight rise. India's central bank cut rates by a quarter percentage point for the second consecutive time. Analysts say despite rising inflation, the move is an effort to boost growth ahead of national elections later this month. And a day after tweeting that he plans to hold a press conference next week, Nissan's former boss Carlos Ghosn has been rearrested in Japan for a fourth time. That's on new allegations, which Mr. Ghosn denies, that he paid an Omani businessman $31 million from company funds. iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, they've all revolutionized the way we listen to music. Initially, streaming led to plummeting revenue for artists and labels, but that's changing. The BBC's Benji Guy has more.
So I've been talking to the IFPI, which used to stand for the International Federation of Phonographic Industries, but they've dropped that as it sounds too old-fashioned. And they're reporting that global recorded music revenues have grown 9.7% this year, and it's the fourth consecutive year of growth. Streaming now accounts for half of total global revenue, and part of that's down to new music from Asia and Africa, as I heard from Executive Vice President of Market Development at Universal Music, Adam Granite.
Whether that's BTS, who had a huge year last year, or J Balvin from Colombia, who had also a huge year. But I think as well there's lots of different artists, whether it's Chinese artists or artists from the Philippines or all over Latin America or Spain. It's not one market, it's not one sound, and I think we're seeing a diversity like never before, which is incredibly exciting.
So that was Adam Granite. And so the question is, are artists getting more of a share? The price you pay for an individual track is about a dollar, and that's small. If you're successful, those numbers add up.
Now, Africa is one of those markets that's producing some of that amazing new music and is also consuming it. Now, the BBC's Emmeline Nsingi-Nkosi has been reporting on that, and she joins us from Ghana. Emmeline, what have you found?
You have Boomplay Music, which boasts over 42 million listeners across Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Uganda and Zambia. But the one that I looked at specifically was YouTube. It literally has billions of eyeballs, and that's kind of the one that everybody is going towards. I've spoken to Nigerian superstar Mr. Yeezy about the power of the internet.
This is the best time to be making music as an African artist because there's so much demand and the internet is making the world a small place. And unfortunately, you know, in majority of the parts of Africa, there's no respect for intellectual property. I have a dream where I build a full ecosystem of the music that's been taking a lot of investment.
Emmeline, Mr. Easy isn't exactly happy about the low ad revenue from YouTube.
Well, that's the thing. The IFPI said that for every $20 that the industry would get through Spotify, they would get only $1 on YouTube. Mr. Easy actually put out a tweet. He's spending about $6,000 on production, and then he's going and spending $10,000 on advertising. But the way he's doing that is through Google Ads to push commercials. So when you're watching YouTube, you'll see a video before the video you're watching. And it means that in turn, that's getting more eyeballs and more revenue.
Benji, this presumably globally is still about the big artists cashing in.
Exactly. I spoke to Frances Moore, the CEO of IFPI, and she said that, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, whereas before, you just had one purchase of a CD or an album. Now the downloads just keep coming.
Emmeline, what are you finding in Africa? Big stars cashing in?
It's still all about performance, touring. Miss Easy also mentioned you can get more money when you're outside of Africa. So I feel that there's definitely going to have to be a change in that before they can really cash in.
That's the BBC's Emmeline Nsingi and Cozy in Ghana and Benji Guy here in London. Remember, you can grab our podcast wherever you get yours. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.